before he's trying to put back to sleep.
It's Monday. Are you guys awake out there yet? Some of you were confused. You heard the Christmas music. Good morning.
I was one of those. I was like, what is she doing? Is she trying to put me back to sleep? Oh, no.
I'm awake today. Be afraid. Okay.
Very afraid.
That's my green tea working. Welcome to Lunch with Ginger and Corey.
And I am Sally.
And you're Sally.
Well, then I'm Linus.
Just wrong. You see how I checked with me? Just wrong, 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 wrong.
If I'm wrong, it's because you made me that way.
Mm-hmm. Sure, blame me. Blame me.
I am too.
Did you all enjoy your Mother's Days out there? Yeah?
It was nice. It was nice. You know, I did my little thing. I went to lunch with a friend of mine and her kids, and that was fun. And then I came home and napped until like 10 o'clock. So it was good. That was good. And, Mom, if you're listening, my bad. I will call you in a little bit.
Yes, you better.
OXOXOXO. Yeah.
Well, I went and took my grandmother to the store and took her to Popeye's Chicken because that's what she wanted.
Well, Popeye's is awesome.
Yes. People in the North don't know about the Popeye's, really. Well, some of them do. Some of them do.
Yeah.
She was very, very happy. She got her Popeye's, and then she bought me a cake. I was loving her. And it's a... I've never seen this before. It's a cake that has, like, it's a square cake, but it has, like, four different kinds of cake. There's, like, a chocolate cake. There's like
I have seen those.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. And it's a king cake from Mardi Gras, and then it's got a lemon something, and then it's got a, I don't know, it's, like, four different kinds of cakes. I was like, oh, my God, where do I go first? Which one of you do I eat first?
So good. Oh,
yes.
I should have gone and hung out with you. That's what I should have done. Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's been too much cake at my house. I'm going to have to hit the gym like nobody's business. Okay. I'm serious. I think my jeans feel a little tight today. This is not going to work. I mean, it's supposed to be some kind of tight, but...
not that tight, yeah.
No, not that tight. Circulation being cut off and whatnot. Can't breathe. Can't run from the zombies and... Yeah.
Run from the zombies. Oh, no.
I can't. Let me give some love to our GF... community game focus from up in Canada. I'm laughing because every day we have a Twitter fight. Every day. I don't know what it is. So, but we love you. That's why we're Twitter fighting with you.
Yay.
He says
it's a love tap.
Yeah, I think they're painting a wall in our likeness. So we'd like to see that when you're done.
Really?
And also, shout out to Gunner Girls who sent us a lovely Twitter this morning. Mwah, thank you, girls. We love you. We love you. I'm trying to calm down. If y'all wonder why I keep taking these breaths, because I am raring to go. Somebody's going to get hurt today. Okay.
She is, too, people. I'm going to try to hold on for dear life, but if I lose the grip, oh, beware.
Run for your life.
Run for your life.
All right. Well, Ginger, tell them what we got on our plate today.
What have we got on our plate today?
Mm-hmm.
Well... we've got rumors. Oh, yes. We've got rumors that Sony is considering reward for information on the PSN hackers. Oh, yes. CNET is reporting that Sony is considering offering for a reward leading to those hackers responsible for breaking into its PlayStation Network and Sony Online Entertainment Networks that lead to both services being taken down nearly 2 weeks ago. According to the report, the company has been kicking around the idea of a reward for a while, but has not yet come to a final decision on the matter. Apparently, they are still weighing the pros and the cons of offering such a reward. If they do agree on it, the report claims it would be brought before the company's top executives for approval. CNET's report adds that any reward would have to be offered in cooperation with various law enforcement agencies around the world investigating the security breach, including the FBI. Sony,
ouch.
Yeah, of course, Sony has not publicly commented on the story yet. Well, I added the yet. I'm assuming they're going to comment on it to tell us, yeah, we did think about this, or no, we didn't. I think this is a good idea. Yeah, I've got to tell you some of my ideas. Mm-hmm.
Do share.
You know, we talking about this yesterday. We've got E3 coming up. It's what, a month? And right now we're coming up on what, a month almost of the PSN being down. What, 3 weeks?
Yeah.
3 weeks now. And it makes me wonder, you know, if they do find out who it is, whether or not they're going to hold on to that until E3 before they release information on who it was. Whether or not they're going to make some big stand at E3, some big show to
I don't think I don't know if that would be a good or bad thing.
I think at this point they're going to have to, you know, go big or go home, because otherwise they're about to get stomped over all this, you know?
They're being stomped.
Well, they are. And the way to win back, you know, their consumers' trust is they're going to have to do some big show, you know, something big. And offering us, what, 3 free games out of 5 that they're going to get to choose from, and everything else is just not, no, I'm sorry, that doesn't.
Well, in that same vein, things just got even worse.
Uh-oh, what happened?
I posted a brief blurb on the site, but now I'm going to tell you the whole entire story.
The rest of the story.
Well, PSN
mm-hmm.
will be down, and I want you guys, please take a deep breath. You Sony fangirls and boys, please take a deep breath. No hyperventilating. May 31st is when they're expecting to have it back up.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Now, despite indications that a limited service would resume within a week or even last Tuesday, the PlayStation Network remains down, and as a new security breach has been discovered and user information is posted online, this recent breach that they've discovered, the latest comments from Sony suggest that PSN will be fully operational by May 31st, having failed to get any online functions working publicly since it was taken offline last month. While Sony is working on getting the network operational again, the company is dealing with the posting of data from 2,500 sweepstakes contestants on an affiliated website. The sweepstakes was originally run in 2001 and may represent a third attack on the company, as predicted by online chatter on Friday. It's unclear whether the same group of hackers is involved, but Sony insists that information does not include credit card data, passwords, or social security numbers, but it does include names and addresses, and I'm going to have to go check that list and see if I'm on it. The website was out of date and inactive when discovered as part of the continued attacks on Sony, said the company to Reuters. The identity of the hackers and whether they are the same group in each instance remains unknown. However, following Sony's revelation that data relating to activist group Anonymous was found on their servers, two veterans of the groups have said that other members are likely to have been behind the attacks. Ooh, thrown under the bus. It says, if you are Anonymous, then do something as Anonymous. Then Anonymous did it, said Kayla to the Financial Times. Just because the rest of Anonymous might not agree with it doesn't mean Anonymous didn't do it. Of course, the ones behind Operation Sony started denying everything when FBI and Homeland Security was put on the case because they were afraid they were going to get caught. A few operators even disappeared, said another Anonymous member. Officially, Anonymous has denied any involvement in the security breach, having announced prior to the attack that it was no longer targeting Sony. The most recent PlayStation blog updates, however, indicate that only that Sony has begun the process of restoring the service through internal testing of the new system, although the post by SCEE Head of Communications Nick Kaplan acknowledges the additional delay. He insists that our utmost priorities are the security of the network and ensuring that your data is safe. Thank you. Kaplan has also commented on the availability of identity theft protection in Europe, which has already been offered here in America, and I'm a victim of identity theft. Do it! Creating a similar offer for many countries within the SCEE region is a very complicated process. No, it's not. Each country has a different way of handling identity theft. Some offer relatively sophisticated devices, while others are much more modest, said Kaplan. I think we need to cut people.
Yes, I agree.
He says, we're currently in the process of identifying how we manage this situation, and once the program is ready to launch, we'll provide details of exactly which servers are available in each country and explain how to sign up. We hope to do this early next week. Thank you. Kaplan has also promised more details of the European Welcome Back program, which will offer 2 free PlayStation 3 games, boo, from a list of 5, as well as 2 free PSP titles from a list of 4, boo, I don't want your games. I want you to protect my stuff.
I can't help but think, I worry that there's some kind of inside help with this. I don't want to say that.
There has to be.
But this going on this long and for it to be this bad, yes, something is going on.
Well, there's a whole bunch of comments on this one, and I'm telling you, hackers, whoever you are, you better never tell anybody.
Screwed. I will. It's not the word I wanted to go with just then, but
What a cluster smurf.
You can hide all you want. When we find you, you're going to wish your mother had never met your father.
Oh. These people are not happy leaving comments. Some of them, this one's my favorite. It says, I don't even own a PS3, but this still ticks me off. So they've gone beyond the line.
It's a form of cyber terrorism, and if you're listening, I don't care if you get upset. I use terrorism. Cyber terrorism. This is what this is. You are stealing from people. You're stealing from hard working people.
Forget they're there. That's what I say.
I mean, sure, you've not killed anybody. You've not physically harmed anybody beyond taking their hard-earned money. And now you're putting these developers out of business, these small-time developers, these indie developers who make their living, their money, off of these games, and they can't make it because you're stealing from them. You're not Robin Hood. You're just a common, everyday, worthless criminal who doesn't deserve to breathe the same oxygen I'm breathing.
Cut him, Ginger.
Cut. I will, too. I will.
I'm tired of this whole thing. I'm tired of this whole thing. Ginger.
Me, too. I wish you'd go away. All right. Cowboys and aliens?
Indians or aliens?
Aliens. I like aliens. Game Loft classic licenses. Woohoo! It's Monday, people. I have too much caffeine or not enough. One of the two. Game Loft license classic Cowboys and Aliens from Platinum Studios. Yay! Platinum Studios, an entertainment company, an international library of more than 5,000 comic book characters, which it adapts, produces, and licenses for all forms of media, has licensed its top-selling Cowboys and Aliens graphic novel to Game Loft, a leading global publisher of digital and social games, to produce the video game. Launching in July 2011, coinciding with the release of the new film by Paramount Pictures, the game will allow players to relive their favorite graphic novel adventure and fight against the alien invasion to protect the human race. Cowboys and Aliens tells the story of an alien invasion in the Old West in the late 19th century. The graphic novel was created by Platinum Studios Incorporated Chairman and CEO Scott Mitchell Rosenberg and was first published in December 2006 when it became the largest ordered graphic novel of the year. Corinne Kaiser, Vice President of Marketing and Licensing of Game Loft, says, "We are confident Cowboys and Aliens will translate into a great mobile game that only stays true to the graphic, or not only stays true to the graphic novel, but brings a new experience to a classic license. Gamers and fans alike will be thrilled." Platinum's Rosenberg says, "Game Loft understood the opportunity of uniting the Cowboys and Indians, to fight against the alien invasion and the cool gadgetry and combat play that it represents. I can't wait to play this game on my phone. Actually, I want to play this thing on my PC, not my phone. You should make it even better." A feature film version of Cowboys and Aliens, starring Daniel Craig, Harrison Ford, and Olivia Wilde, directed by John, Favreau? Executive produced by Steven Spielberg and produced by Brian Grazer, Ron Howard, Alex Kurtzman, Robert Orsi, and Rosenberg, will be released in North America on July 29th of 2011. This is via DreamWorks and Universal Pictures, with Paramount Pictures handling the international release of the picture. Yay! All right, so you want to check out Platinum Studios, see what else they've got? So you can head over to PlatinumStudios.com, or they even have a Facebook. Facebook.com/PlatinumStudios. And it is Cowboys and Aliens, not Indians. But apparently there were Indians in it. They just kind of left them out because, you know, apparently we're not important.
All right. I'm trying to, some of these are stories I refuse to read on the air.
come on.
I just refuse. Wow. Well, there's so much more Sony news, Jay. I'm going to skip over that. This is depressing. I'm starting to get depressed reading this. Please, Sony, do something. Fight back. All right, you people that have Club Nintendo memberships, they revised their privacy policy, which you should be paying attention to, and I'm guilty of not doing it either. They changed their privacy policy related to online access via their new 3DS handheld. This is from GamePolitics.com. They're asking users via an email circulated today to accept a brand new privacy policy that lets it share personal member information with Nintendo Japan. Members must accept the new terms by May 31st or face losing their accounts. Mm-hmm. In other words, you gon' do it.
So, you gon' do it.
There's apparently no way to opt out of these terms. And this is from their website. The amendment of the Club Nintendo privacy policy was necessary due to the launch of the new 3DS system, which offers a wide variety of network services. As you can link your Club Nintendo account to your Nintendo 3DS system, we adjusted the existing privacy policy to reflect and explain this. Under the new Club Nintendo privacy policy, we ask for your consent to share your data with our parent company, Nintendo Co. Limited in Japan. The Nintendo 3DS system offers many new exciting features and applications which we cannot provide to you without involving our parent company. As you can link your Club Nintendo account to your Nintendo 3DS system, the involvement of our parent company also affects Club Nintendo. Nintendo, of course, insisted it will not share user information with any other party beyond Nintendo Japan and promises privacy, says we'll take all the steps necessary to ensure that your privacy is protected. And that's via to Game Politics via Edge. That also means if they catch you flashing 3D porn, thank you, Nintendo, 3D porn, all out in the open.
There was some 3D porn movie released a couple of weeks back, actually. It was in India or something like that, though.
It's going to make its way to the 3DS. And, of course, Nintendo did not comment when we asked them about this. But I think this is their comment.
Yeah. Don't do it. That's their comment.
Yeah, see if you do it now. You won't be able to if you don't accept this agreement. And if you do it after you accept this agreement, we're coming after you. So, yeah.
Nintendo gonna get you. They're gonna send Luigi and Mario out to get you.
That would be funny. I would like to see that. Somebody do that skit. Mario showing up at somebody's door. It's a me, a Mario. I come to see you.
God, yes. Yes, that'd be epic. Ah, so awesome. All right.
What you got, lady?
Well, you won't read it, but I'm going to. PSN downtime continues. Free games detailed, except they're not really all that detailed. All right, so over the weekend, sorry, I'm going to lose my voice. Texas weather. Over the weekend, Sony issued another statement explaining why the PlayStation Network would remain offline. A new security breach was discovered, and apparently user information was posted online from an old sweepstakes. You already read this.
Yep.
Oh, what am I doing? Do. You know what? I've got a different one. Screw that. All right, PSN. Just go to... GamesAid Swindon debut. Once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to play football at a League One football ground and raise money for charity. GamesAid, a UK games industry charity for children and young people, is happy to announce a fundraiser giving people an opportunity to play football at the home of League One team Swindon Town FC. EA and the Games Tribe have reserved the pitch and officials for a full game for 1 p.m. onwards on Friday, May 20th. Places on the team are just L25, so whatever that is, Linden's, Frank's, something, Euros, anyways, rupees, which allows you to play football with other games industry members on a proper football league pitch with kits, a ref, and changing rooms, and even have a drink in the bar afterwards. Yay, because, you know, drunken football, that's always fun.
Why? Does it affect the game somehow? See, sometimes y'all just throw stuff in the game. It has no point, really.
It's going to make it hurt a whole lot less afterwards, I'd assume.
If it was a blitz to league, it would.
I guess so. Spaces are on a strictly first-come, first-play basis, and if you don't think you can last the full 90 minutes, you can split the fee with someone else and share the game with them. So you want to do this, and you know you're European and crazy, head over to the Just Giving page, which is justgiving.com/RichKeith, to pay your money, and then let Rich Keith know your details and preferred position. There is an email. I'm not going to give it out on air right now because I don't want to be harassed. If you're really all that serious about it, just head over to the website and check it out. Justgiving.com/RichKeith. Or, you know, you don't want to play and you still want to give money, head over to justgiving.com/GamesAid.
All right.
Yay.
Well, unto every generation is born the one bunny in all the world who can fight against the zombies. She is Bunny, the zombie slayer. Okay. And Hothead Games is announcing today a batch of updates to their popular, very popular iPhone game, called Zombie Defense Game Bunny, the Zombie Slayer. It was just released today. It's offering some expanded gameplay and in-game improvements for additional hours of zombie killing fun. So this is going to be version 1.2. They have added 3 different modes to play in. Classic, say how many waves of zombie can you defeat with your hard-boiled hand grenades? You got 28 waves later.
My God. Are you kidding me?
Put your skills to the test with even more hordes of zombies and no special eggs to bail you out. You also have timed attack. Kill as many zombies as possible in 2 minutes and aim for the head for bonus time and high scores. I also have Game Center support with leaderboards for each mode. Native Retina display support. I don't know what that is, but maybe Zinger does for iPhone?
No. I have the old iPhone. I need a new one.
Ooh, they also have automatic detection for device orientation.
Ooh.
Ooh. So Bunny, the Zombie Slayer, was top 50 overall app in the first week it was launched. And even with that success, they still say they want to keep improving the game and making it even more fun for you players. That's from Joel DeYoung over at Hothead Games. All you Zombie Slayers out there. He says, we've listened to all the feedback that the game has received and are offering this update thanks to the comments and reviews from their customers. There's also a trailer available. I think I put this up for you just a little while ago, but I'm all alert and everything, but I do have a little loopy in there. I know I posted this up, but I have no idea if I gave you the link. I'm only a little bit crazy, but there are some beautiful screenshots I did put up for you. Excuse the other crazy parts. Oh, yeah, I got to take this down. That's bad. I shared some stuff with y'all. Y'all should not see. Let's people rushing over to see what it was that I put up.
Girl,
it is gone.
You won't get cut.
I will, too. They will cut me in a heartbeat. It's gone now. Don't worry about it. You didn't see it.
That was not the thing you weren't supposed to see.
Not the thing he's supposed to see. So head over to... Oh, wow. I had it in my ear, the whole trailer thing. Okay, so you can pop over...
Yeah, I heard that for a second.
Did? It's all sweet and nice sounding. You can pop over to Hothead Games to check out the rest of their games and Bunny the Zombie Slayer. And on... Bunny, I keep saying Bonnie. Bunny the Zombie Slayer is available now on the App Store for 99 cents or 59 francs. I think that's a franc symbol if you're French. Interesting. Bunny, I wonder if they wanted to do that whole the whole thing I just did. That would be funny.
Bunny the Zombie Slayer.
The one bunny in all the world. Until every generation is born. I had to do it. All right, what you got?
I've got The Death of Osama.
Mm-hmm. See, I was avoiding that one. Try to avoid the political statements, but Ginger is not afraid. Go for it, Ginger.
I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com. Looks like they pulled it from Go Nintendo by way of Kotaku. The Death of Osama, SMB style. Oh, yes. Modders and creative types are having fun mocking the death of Osama bin Laden at the hands of an elite U.S. Navy SEAL. But one of the best pieces of video game related comedy on the subject comes from a French television show that uses Super Mario Brothers as the backdrop. Instead of Mario and Bowser, the animation features former U.S. President George W. Bush chasing down Osama in various stages until the 2008 election where Obama takes over. Check out the video. You can't check it out to your left, but I'll probably put it up on the website in a little bit because you got to check this crap out. Oh my God. GameMatrix.com. Check it out in a minute. Oh, wow. Just wow.
Yeah. Some of you out there are really creative.
I was getting upset that they were just doing Bush, but then I noticed that they put in Obama, so then that made it better. I was like, all right. I was like, now wait a minute.
Ooh, it's been an interesting weekend. Politically, anyway. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So. Let me clear my throat. I have to clear.
People are like, oh my God, these girls are nuts.
Sometimes and sometimes not. Well,
we don't actually reply back to the voices in our heads.
I do.
Oh, well, she may be crazy.
Maybe. Well, I never. I try so hard. All right. You people out there who love your Apple and Google fighting. Yes.
We have cookies.
Well, they're battling it out again. But Apple said, nah, 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 to Google. Because we are now the world's biggest brand. Woot! Google's For Your Rain as the world's number one consumer brand has been ended by Apple. According to 2011 BrandZ, top 100 most valuable global brand rankings, Apple's brand value rose by 84% to $153.3 billion, according to the chart's creators, Millward Brown, while Google fell by 2% to $111.5 billion. Oh, those poor babies. The number three brand was, of course, IBM, followed by McDonald's, and at number four, Microsoft. With a 2% rise at number – oh, I'm sorry. They had a 2% rise at number five. I'm sorry. I stand corrected. The fastest riser of the year, of course, was Facebook at number 35 with a brand value of $19.1 million. I would have thought they would have been much higher. The combined value of the top 100 amounts to – I need a drum roll on my board, and I don't have one – $2.4 trillion. More than the GDP of the UK. Apple's brand value alone is equivalent to the GDP of Peru. entire country of Peru. Okay, so the top five brands in North America were identical to the global top five, but the charts were very different elsewhere in the world. Top three brands in the UK were Vodafone. I've used Vodafone before. They used to have an amazing thing in Second Life, believe it or not. I'll tell you about that after the show. I don't know what happened to them.
Yeah, I heard something about that.
Yeah, you used to be able to text and talk to people via voice that were outside Second Life via Vodafone, if I remember correctly. That was amazing. Also, for the top ones in the UK are HSBC and Tesco, whereas in continental Europe, the top three brands were Deutsche Telekom, Movistar, and SAP. In the global chart, Nintendo was ranked at number 79 with a 37% drop. Sony was ranked at 85, a 19% increase over the previous year to a brand value of $10.4 billion. A list of the top 100 companies and a full report can be found on Millward Brown's official website, and that's millwardbrown.com, and it's /BrandZ, and there's some other characters there, but I'm sure once I get you there, you can find it. Wow. So you can also read this entire story over at gamesindustry.biz. I would have thought that Facebook would have been higher than all of them.
But you would think, but...
I don't know. Did we lose you, Ginger?
No, I'm here. I'm coughing. Oh, girl. I'm dying today.
Stop it. Keep the lungs inside.
I'm trying. They need to stay inside. They want to come out and play. They want oxygen.
Actually, do you mind? I'm going to throw something in here. It's not actually a story, but
it's
kind of a story. It's short.
Upon a time.
Well, I'm going to try to keep it short anyway. Over the weekend, of course, I started watching some of the newer networks. One of them is a network called Bio, and all they do is biographies, stories on, you know, people who survive horrible things. And one of them was a story, of course, I think it made the news, about a boy who had been playing Halo, and he ended up killing his mother, and he tried to kill his father. I wanted to say something about it, because this is something we harp on the show a whole lot, and I know we have some of you that only listen in the mornings. If you have children and you are buying them games such as Halo and Call of Duty, that's your prerogative. But what you need to do is sit down and watch them. Very clearly, this little boy was disturbed and the parents didn't catch on. And the father is kind of trying to hint that it was Halo that pushed him over the edge, and it was not. Your son was psychotic. The way that he described that his son walked into the room and said, you and mom close your eyes, I have a surprise, and then he shot his dad in the head. And then
he
shot his mother four times. The father survived. When he came to, he said the son was sitting beside him trying to put the gun in his hand, you know, to make it seem like he did it. But the thing is, your son was psychotic. And we've had, I often mention this, if you're a woman developer, you should be on the list, women's developer list at IGA.org. One of the women on there had a son who was psychotic, and he's not permitted to play games like Halo and COD. If you're not familiar with what psychotic means, it means the line between this is not real and this is real is very blurred for them. Mm-hmm. They don't understand. They don't have normal logical senses. So you need to be paying attention to your kids. It's not the games that's doing it. If you got a kid that's a little off, it's the kid needs medication, and you need to keep them away from those games. Don't blame the game. Pay attention. That's all I want to say. That's my lesson for the day.
No, and you got a good point. You really should. Your child was mentally, something was not right with your kid. And it was not Halo that pushed him over the edge. It was the fact that you did not parent your child correctly and did not catch this.
Because they said he sat and played for hours. They said he stood out line and stood in line for the midnight launch. But you still, when you buy your kid these games, you still need to sit down and play through with them and watch them at least once or twice to see how they're reacting to what they're seeing. And if you've got a kid who's, you know, appearing completely normal after he's done, you know your kid's, you know, not needing any help. But if they start acting kind of funny, you need to get them some help. Take the game away and, you know, take them down to get help. It's not the game's fault. Your kid is mentally ill. And there's nothing wrong with that. Some people need a little extra help. Like some people eat too much and they need to go to Jenny Craig and they need that help. Some people exercise too much. They need to sit their ass down somewhere. I mean, there's an overboard for everything. But for this, for some reason, people take offense to it if there's somebody in their family that's mentally ill. They need help is what I'm saying. Don't be angry. Don't be embarrassed. Just get them the help they need and need not have people getting shot in the head.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to go back to silly news. I have a just disturbing thing about that poor kid. Oh, yeah. Oh boy. Viva Media. Viva Media and Bit Composer announced the Rockin' Dead's debut in North America on May 31st.
I want to play. Okay.
I know. I saw the screenshots, which I put up on GameAndMatrix.com. Head over and check them out. They're pretty awesome. Rock and roll never dies, and you can experience the undead in 3D, too.
Ooh.
No, right? Viva Media. I'm going to say that all day wrong. All day wrong. yes, I know I said that. I'm going to get shot. Viva Media presents The Rockin' Dead, a groundbreaking adventure in 3D. Jamming from the crypt is the very best the afterlife has to offer in rock and roll. Meet the Deadly Lullabies. Alyssa, Cassandra, and Sahara are a group of metal babe rockers who are ready for just about anything. They've loaded up their van and hit the road after receiving an anonymous invitation to perform at a far-off castle. But a hellbent force is out to stop them from ever getting there. Immerse yourself in a challenging adventure that will lead ever deeper into a universe of undead beings, rocking skeletons, and a host of other bizarre creatures. Yes, because, you know, rocking skeletons aren't bizarre, right? All right, so we've got some features here. Meet the Deadly Lullabies. Cassandra, Alyssa, and Sahara are a group of heavy metal vixens ready for just about anything, but we already read that. Are you serious? You're getting me the same thing again? explore over 90 eerie settings and encounter all the cryptic characters as the band relies on your logic and skill to liberate them from these enigmatic dangers. Anaglyph 3D technology presents a completely new perspective to adventure gaming. Use 3D glasses to explore the meticulously detailed settings in true 3D, or transition seamlessly in traditional 2D view. Will the Deadly Lullabies ever play another gig? To find out, you must first descend into this insane world where occult, unexplained phenomena, and heavy metal rule. Of course, it is coming to North America. It's going to be in the category of horror and adventure. It's going to be $19.99, so, you know, that's not bad. And it's only rated T for teens. It is PC, so none of this Xbox, PSN, fiasco stuff going on. So head over there and check it out. Is there a date? I'm not seeing. Oh, May 31st. Hey, I already said that. May 31st is the date. I will be looking for this in all major retailers. Mm-hmm. How about you? I want to play this. This looks like a lot of fun.
No.
No.
I'm kidding. I'm so kidding.
Corey.
I'm kidding. You all know I love it. Okay. Well, looks like the people over at the Kinect heard my complaint that I don't want to be playing games without a prop. I need a prop in my hand when I'm going to play something. I need something to hold. Don't. Shut up, Ginger. Well, the people over at CTA have made a translucent Kinect steering wheel for when you absolutely positively must see the road through your steering wheel. But it's kind of hot. I think I could put some glitter on it or something. I don't know. Steering wheel wheels sure are fun, but they're even more fun when they're functional. So why do they have to be so opaque? This is our friends over at Engadget. It's like you can't see through them at all. So at yeah, it would help if I could talk. The CTA Digital made, actually they're following us on Twitter. Hi, I just remembered they're probably listening. Hi, guys. They make gaming peripherals like the Wii Bowling Ball and a Nintendo DS DSi Puppet Pouch. Are thinking outside the particular box with the aptly named Transparent Steering Wheel. It looks like it was, I like their comments, it looks like it was pulled from the wreckage of Wonder Woman's invisible plane. I love it. The company is apparently still perfecting the clear plastic technology, and they will ship out on June the 5th and will set you back a big, horrible, whopping $12.99. That's good. That's good peripheral right there. And that comes to them via Joystick and Amazon.com, where I believe you can pick up, let me see if you can pre-order it. I will check for you right now. Yes, and it is also eligible for your free Super Saver shipping. Well, nope, that's if it was over $25. So buy two of them. Put them away for a gift. Get your free shipping. Right, Ginger? Yeah?
Yeah. We like us some free shipping. We like us some free stuff in general, any kind of free stuff.
Even more lovely is that CTA Digital chose to put a little girl on the box playing with the steering wheel.
That is awesome.
Thank you, CTA Digital, for the girl live.
Woo-hoo!
They also have some other interesting things. We have not been being good friends with them. They have a lovely wall mount TV clip for the Kinect camera.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and for it also works with the PlayStation Eye. Oh, I need one of these because I have mine just kind of sitting on a shelf above. This would be nice to put it right over the TV. Oh, it also has one that clips on the TV. They got some good stuff.
I've been looking for something like that because, you know, I don't have a TV. I have a projector, so I need something to go above my projection.
You are out of order, ma'am.
That's awesome. I am so, so awesome.
I think it is time for us to have a tech show again. It's been a while. We need to get you guys updated on some tech. Maybe, maybe.
Yeah, I'll take pictures of all my awesomeness. Yes, yes, yes.
By the way, I did clean up the Nebuchadnezzar. It's still kind of messy under there, but it's much, much better. I have a picture before, and I'll get an after up for you guys.
I was going to this weekend, but then I'm about to move office, so it's kind of like, well, what's the point?
Wait. Okay, GF Community is messing with me about you need a prop to play games. Please explain that in a G-rated format. We don't do G-rated.
G-rated? Really?
We don't do G-rated here. We are rated G for teen, sometimes M for mature, but never G.
Never G. All right. I had a news story. Ooh, there we go. And I have to read this purely for the title more than anything else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Museum of Computing, Bedroom Programming Challenge. You know I have to. As part of the Museums at Night event, which makes, you know, the whole bedroom programming challenge even better, the Museum of Computing in Swindon is holding a bedroom programming challenge on Saturday, the 14th of May, from 20 o'clock. So what's that? That's 8 o'clock? 8 o'clock until midnight.
20 o'clock.
20 o'clock. I'm telling you, you Euro people and your weird hours. The museum will be going back to the 1980s, when madness such as the Sinclair Spectrum and the Commodore 64 were deadly rivals. This was a time when nobody with a talent for programming could write... This is a time when anybody with a talent for programming could write cool games in their bedroom and become a millionaire. Although not promising that, visitors will be able to write their own computer game, which will be entered into an online competition. No programming experience is needed at the museum. As the museum resident experts will guide people through the entire process. The museum welcomes individual or team entries, but places are limited. Museum curator Simon Webb commented, he says, "It promises to be a fun evening. We hope to show people how far games programming has progressed and let them try it themselves. It's going to be an evening to release your inner geek." Yes, because I need bedroom programming to release my inner geek. Mm-hmm. yeah, that's not what I'm usually releasing in there. As well as trying their hand at programming, visitors will be able to seek inspiration by playing on some of the vintage computers and games consoles on display, including a Commodore 64, BBC Micro, Sinclair Spectrum, Nintendo Entertainment System,
Sega Mega Drive, and many more. So there is an age range here, people. We're sorry. You have to be either age from 8 to 80. So, hey, it's pretty big. Dress code, pajamas, please. But other nerdy evening wear is also acceptable.
Please, God, no. Please, God, no.
You go dressed in steampunk. Send me pictures.
No, no, you need to. Ginger, you are asking for trouble. You are asking for
send
trouble.
Me Ginger at GameAndAtrix.com. And I spell it weird. I spell it odd. It's not ginger like as in the spice. It's ginger as in like I rock. So it's GINGIR at GameAndAtrix.com. Send me pictures of your steampunk stuff. Yes, please do.
See, you asked for that. Just be aware when you open up your email that you did not specify. You failed to specify the terms.
That is fine. If you send me nudie pictures, I'm going to put them up on like YouPorn or something. I'm going to make a killing. All right. So admission fees. It is L6. So what is that? Linden dollars, pounds, francs, pizzas, something per person, which will include the staple diet of programmers everywhere, pizza and cola. Yes, booking is essential. Anybody wishing to reserve places should email geek@museumofcomputing.org.uk. This sounds like so much fun. Can we go play in Europe, please?
I'm not allowed in Europe.
See what you would be.
I am not allowed within the confines of Europe.
Doubly cut.
Dish.
Nothing is going to be me if I keep talking. Mm-hmm.
Deep cut to the white meat. Cut to the white meat. Okay.
Don't cut me.
Yes, it's time for a break, Miss Ginger.
It's time for a break.
Are you ready for the break? No.
Yeah, I guess I can go for a break. Yeah, because you know I need a break, right? As wound up as I am, I need a break.
Maybe you need to grab some pills.
Grab everything I can.
Oh, yes.
You're going to want to see this.
So we're about to move into the non-streaming portion of our show. Remember, you can download and listen to the rest of this later if you are so inclined. Otherwise, come find us. This news and other news available on GameAndAtrix.com or GamerGirlsRadio.com. Whichever one tickles your fancy. We'll tickle your fancy. And after the break, I'll tell you some new news about L.A. Noire, which I'm starting to become obsessed with.
Seriously, I know I was seeing the art for it at the mall yesterday. Oh, so hot.
It is beautiful.
I'm so thinking about asking the guys over at GameStop if I can have the artwork once they're done.
Sometimes I'll give it to you.
I think I'm going to ask for it.
I think you should. Then you should send it to us. No, I'm kidding.
No, it's going to go to my office right next to my agent. Where are you?
She's like, fine.
Fine. If I have to go in there with a full low-cut shirt, you know, push it. Fine.
I'll work what your mama gave you.
Yeah.
No, I hear a smoker. No, I think I saw a
smoker.
I would appreciate it if you
I am bound up like nobody did.
Grab and peel. Grab and peel. Grab and peel. I think I'm going home in a box. Grab and peel. Grab and peel.
I love this song.
Grab and peel.
Come on, Lewis. We can't leave Bill behind.
Tell me you ain't serious.
No, we're just you leaving can. You can leave Bill behind.
Hell
easy.
Yeah.
Cool.
What a dick.
Hey, that is uncalled for. There's a pipe bomb over here.
Everybody stop.
There's a pipe bomb
over
here.
What?
That's well, here, right?
I got to tell you. The part where you said, oh, we can't leave him behind, and you said, yes, he can, that is my whole game. If I'm one of the last people standing, I'd be like, screw it, run for your life. They're like, come help us up, Corey. No, I don't think I will be. I'm going to get to the boat.
Mm-hmm. If you make it, that's great. If you don't, well, too bad. Zombie fodder.
Right? Because, yeah, this was real life. I would leave you. You've already been bitten. What can I do for you? Nothing.
I don't have to outrun zombies. I just have to outrun you.
Matter of fact, as soon as you get bitten, oh, help me. Sure. Blam. There you go. I'll help you.
I'm going to blow out your kneecap.
Mm-hmm. No, they can still crawl. I'm going straight for the head.
Well, see, I figure, you know, if they get bit, they're going to be slowed down because the zombies are on them. Yeah, I'm going to help slow them down even more. I'm going to keep the zombies further even back.
Mm-hmm. No, I see your point. See, that's a good zombie strategy. Make sure they keep eating on him.
Exactly.
I got you. Okay, I didn't follow it.
Run.
You're the bait now.
Yeah, I just got taken off the list for
yeah, for the
to be left.
Nobody talks to you anymore. That's it for you.
I love you guys. Come on.
Nobody is playing with you anymore. As soon as the next Left 4 Dead is out, they're going to be like, no, don't play with Ginger. She's going to leave me behind.
I think I'm actually going to get Left 4 Dead for the computer. I think so.
Yeah, then you and Blaster can play together. I'm sorry. That's one I can't do on the computer. First.
I prefer it on the console, but I've got two people now who play it on the PC, so it's kind of...
Excuse me, I play it on the console? Oh, duh.
That's true, but, you know...
Mm-hmm. I see your point. No, I don't.
Can play it on the PC with us. See, then you'll have three reasons to play it on the PC.
No. I'll keep my MMORPGs and Second Lives on the computer. That's where they...
My Second Lives.
My Second Life.
I can't even say life anymore. Now I got lives.
You know what? I'm going to stop you from talking right there because it's time for some news. And I'm going to keep you from getting in trouble because, yeah. We'll get their own selves in trouble. Oh, well,
I don't know what you're talking about. I never get in trouble.
Uh-huh. Moving along. Announcing the L.A. Noir has some new soundtrack releases. Releases. I said releases. Good Lord. Stop it, Ginger. Official. L.A. Noir has been remixed. All right, so they're saying they're proud to announce two official L.A. Noir soundtrack releases, the L.A. Noir official soundtrack and L.A. Noir remix. The official L.A. Noir official, yeah, I'm going to need y'all to correct that. The soundtrack was inspired by the sweeping orchestral scores of the film, great films of the 1940s. This all-original score was recorded in London's legendary Abbey Road Studios, you know, where the Beatles recorded, and composed by Andrew Hill. Yes, Abbey Road. If I have my history incorrect, you know, I wasn't born when the Beatles were around, but I love them. They're of course composed by Andrew Hale of the band Sade, or Sade. I'm not really sure. And Sweetback, whose credits include scores for such films as Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, which I watched like a million times this weekend. The soundtrack also features modern takes on the classic torch songs of the period. Three original vocal recordings were created for the soundtrack, all produced and written by Stephen Coates of the Real World Tuesday Weld, and featuring guest vocals of Claudia Brucken of Propaganda. Additional music was composed for the score by Woody Jackson, who won multiple awards for his work with Bill Elm on the original score of Red Dead Redemption. Players will also hear over 30 licensed jazz tracks in the game itself, including songs from such greats as Billie Holiday, Dizzy Gillespie, Ella Fitzgerald, Louis Armstrong, and Thelonious Monk. Wow.
Yes, please keep reading it like that. That's hot.
Yes. Of course, L.A. Noir is the fruit of a partnership with Verve Records that provides a modern take on the music found throughout the world of L.A. Noir. This unique EP is a collection of six jazz standards reinterpreted by some of today's acclaimed DJs, producers, and remixers, including Dave Sitek, DJ Premier, who also gets a and Truth and Soul, L.A. Noir remix of L.A. Noir.
Oh, my God, woman.
The official soundtracks will be available for purchase on iTunes on May 17th, and look for strong previews and additional information to be released, of course, at rockstargames.com/LA Noir next week. I would love to have copies of these. And I bet you haven't seen Scott Pilgrim vs. the World yet, have you, Jen?
No, I haven't. I need to.
You got to see it. And try not to cheer.
Try not to cheer.
I told you they had to pipe me down the opening credits. I will ruin this part for you. One of the guys is playing Legend of Zelda, and I knew exactly what it was before. As soon as I heard the rupee, I started to cheer. They were like, what the hell is wrong with you? It's Zelda.
It's Link. It's Link. Where's my man? Link.
Link, I love you, Link. Somebody give her drink. Eat some popcorn. Stop that screaming.
Duct tape over the mouth.
Well, that could be fun. But anyway, moving right along.
Anyways, where was was I? Lace Mamba Global extends cooperation with Telltale to bring Sam & Max, The Devil's Playhouse, to UK. Oh, I love this game. I got to play it. So awesome. You guys over in the UK are going to love it. Lace Mamba Global and Telltale Games Incorporated are proud to announce the extension of their cooperation in the retail release of the critically acclaimed PC adventure game Sam & Max, The Devil's Playhouse. Lace Mamba Global plans to publish retail versions of the game, which was previously only available as an online purchase, in its key territories, including the UK and Ireland, Australia, New Zealand, Scandinavia, the Benelux countries, Portugal, and further European markets. Lace Mamba Global plans to release Sam & Max, The Devil's Playhouse, in two versions, including a collector's edition. Ooh, I want that. More details on the edition's contents will be revealed soon. Are you laughing at me?
Yes.
Jason Codd, European Managing Director of Lace Mamba Global, says, after the enormous success of the retail release of the Tales of Monkey Island collectors and premium editions, this is another great addition to our adventure game portfolio. We are very confident that with our dedication to this genre, we can make this retail release another huge success for our retail partners and for Lace Mamba Global. Yes, you can, because this game is awesome. I loved it, loved it, loved it. James, oh, I'm going to kill your name, dude. I'm so sorry. James Lamertuselli, VP of Publishing at Telltale Games, says, Lace Mamba Global did an outstanding job with the retail release of Tales of the Monkey Island, and so it was natural for Telltale Games to partner with them again to launch the latest series of Sam & Max. The creative talent and strong distribution network that Lace Mamba Global provides will generate a compelling retail launch for Sam & Max, The Devil's Playhouse, and their varied markets. All right, so I don't really care about that. So what is Sam & Max? Sam & Max, The Devil's Playhouse, is the latest series of episodic adventure games featuring the freelance police team. Lace Mamba Global will release all 5 episodes of the series in a combined edition for PC and Mac. As Sam & Max, The Devil's Playhouse, opens, Max has been bestowed with powerful psychic abilities that he must wield against his most powerful enemies yet. Join Sam and Max as they investigate the ancient source of these powers, with Max exercising new and amazing abilities with each episode. Shape-shifting, teleportation, mind-reading, and future sight powers prove particularly useful as the freelance police team takes on intergalactic simians, eldritch gods, and an arcane scholar, all ruthlessly hunting down the source of Max's powers for their own evil ends. The retail release date for Sam & Max, The Devil's Playhouse, is set for late August of 2011. If you've not played this game, I'm so sorry. You have to. I loved it. I loved every second of it. I was so addicted. It's a beautiful game. It's awesome. Just wonderful. I cannot say enough good stuff about it. Yay! I was like, great. Did I lose Corey?
No, I'm still here. Well, I was looking over this and going, should I share? Should I not share? This may not be a good thing for this lovely lady, but oh well. Live and you learn the hard way. Looks like somebody's about to lose their job. Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. It's not Ginger, right?
No. No, it is not Ginger, darling. It's not
Yay!
Ginger.
Yay! Not
well, this would be a lovely lady who put up something on LinkedIn that she probably should have, and it's probably innocent enough. I don't think she meant to do anything. I'm not going to say her name. I'm not going to say her name. I don't want you guys to go attack her on LinkedIn. However, she's an artist, and she name dropped Alan Wake 2 on her online CV on LinkedIn. The sequel has been rumored heavily, but never confirmed. The previous artist claims that she worked on an in-game Alan Wake 2 cinematics for Hallon Entertainment in April of this year. Hallon Entertainment created the Deliver Hope advert for Halo Reach. Could Halon's Alan Wake 2 project, if real, be a CGI taster for a major upcoming event like, oh, say, E3 next month?
I wish we were going.
You never know. Such a game would, of course, fill a noticeable hole in Microsoft's exclusive Xbox 360 lineup. A Finnish Alan Wake developer Remedy was last spotted lauding the merits of digital distribution. Before that, Remedy vaunted its in-house motion capture capabilities, claiming they'd outstrip what even Rockstar's Team Bondi has done with L.A. Noire. Oh, that's a big, big challenge.
That is.
Ooh.
I want to see what they got.
I want to see what they got, too. Damn.
Show me your good. You
take on Rockstar. Nobody ever takes on Rockstar.
Mm-mm.
Have you ever seen the opening credits of all their games? If anybody, well, some people out there have probably, well, I can't get Ginger to play any GTA, but the opening credits of their game always starts with a sign that has Rockstar on it and somebody's throwing a ball at it and they can't knock it down. You know, like you pitch the ball at the air, can't knock it down.
That's hot.
Hey, and it's true. Whoever tries to take, well, you know, they're kind of like Nintendo in their own little thing. But anyway, Alan Wake was released a year ago. Say again?
So they're like, bring it.
Yeah, they are. It says Alan Wake, of course, was released a year ago on Xbox 360, and I have yet to play it. I hear it's very, very scary. I'm waiting for a good thunderstorm here, which we haven't had in 55 days. Yes, I know the amount of days. We've had rain. It's a drought. Eurogamer's Ellie Gibson concluded that Alan Wake is accessible, undemanding game with a neat combat mechanic and decent visuals, and she gave it a 7 out of 10. So... they're saying if the project Alan Wake 2 goes ahead, Remedy would love that to be the case because the game, of course, would be exclusive to PC and Xbox 360. So good luck, guys, and I hope since you're trying to take on Rockstar, I hope you can. I hope you can. That's a big thing to say.
That is pretty huge.
Well, we got about 3 minutes, darling. Are you able to fit something in there? Are you able to fit in?
I should be able to if I can find the one that I had. I'll go with this one. Trinity University researchers reveal initial findings for Wizard 101 research study.
Ooh.
Communication researchers from Trinity University, in conjunction with the online game developer and publisher Kings Isle Entertainment, today revealed initial high-level findings from an extensive anonymous survey for more than 30,000 Wizard 101 player volunteers. Conducted in March 2011, the survey focused on an intergenerational play within the online game Wizard 101 and asked questions regarding online play habits and opinions related to families playing the game together.
Hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm. So what exactly did they find? Intergenerational play is an important and emerging dimension within online games. Many families, children, parents, and grandparents are not only playing games together online, but they report being brought closer together by playing them. Hey, I have always said this. Families who game together stay together.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Many creative communities have emerged from online games. This is particularly evident in Wizard 101. Players report building on the foundational narrative of Wizard 101 to imagine their own stories and creative works of art. Many parents report their children learn valuable academic and social skills from playing.
Mm-hmm.
Survey respondents indicate that playing Wizard 101 teaches skills such as reading, math, goal setting, and time and financial management. Survey responses indicate players are learning to value teamwork, cooperation, and interactions with other cultures. Oh, yes, I do see that.
Yes, ma'am.
Players of all ages report learning more about family members when playing together. I think that's true, too. Right, so we've got a couple of select findings. Researchers surveyed over 30,000 Wizards 101 players within the ages 5 and 95. This is one of the largest studies of online gamers conducted to date, which I think is awesome. 60% of responding children play in Wizard 101 with their family members. One-third of those children play with their parents or grandparents, which is awesome. We highly recommend this game if you want to play with your small children. 68% of responding adults plays Wizard 101 with other family members. Approximately two-thirds of those adults play with their children or grandchildren. When asked what games they play with other family members, participants reported in descending order Wizard 101, console games, board games, and card games. Now, who plays card games here? I've got all of this over on GamingExtra.com already, I'm pretty certain. If you want to read the whole thing, because it's insanely long, but it's got some really great information. So head over to GamingExtra.com and check it out.
And with that, we are done. Thought I'd give you a little rock star on the way out.
We are done, yo. It is Monday. We are out of here. We got gaming to do.
I got gaming to do?
Well, all right. Maybe not so much gotta do, but that's kind of what we do.
I still gotta play Troy. I'm gonna pop that in here in just a second. I had to wait for that second patcher to go a good long while. consulting if it was worth it. Hopefully it was worth it. All right, we see you guys bright and early tomorrow. Do try to stay out of trouble. We don't have bail money for you.
No, no bail money. We're just going to point and laugh.
Just like y'all are doing at Sony, we're going to point and laugh at you.
Yes. Actually, no, at this point, now I've wanted to stand behind Sony and, you know, find the jerks to do this.
I am. I'm definitely standing behind Sony.
I'm not even on the PSN network, and I'm behind Sony on this.
We love you, Sony.
Loves you, Sony.
Matter of fact, I'm going to follow them.
You know, that's probably a good idea. You know what, you hackers? We're going to find you, and you're not going to like it. We're going to find you.
Wow. Are we actually still on air? I believe we are.
You know what, little English-speaking lady, you're nuts. I don't understand you, little English-speaking woman. Come on.
All right, we're out of here.
Bye, guys.